Hi everyone, I'm Airman Julian Manus, and you're listening to Beyond the Horizon, a podcast produced by the Ohio Air National Guard's 178th Wing in Springfield, Ohio. On today's episode, I'm sitting down with Master Sergeant Mischke and Staff Sergeant Schaup, members of the 178th Security Forces Squadron. We talk about their experience in Serbia teaching a self-defense course to women who have been victims of domestic violence. Their work in Serbia highlights just one of the unique ways that the 178th contributes to the overall Air Force mission. Enjoy the show. Well, thank you for coming to the show today. Could you just start out by talking a little bit about what you did in Serbia?
All right. So my name is Master Sergeant Kayla Mitschke. And last year in March, I believe it was, I was invited to be the team lead to a group of women. There was two in particular, a soldier by the name of Staff Sergeant Jennifer Reynolds and an airman from the 178th, Staff Sergeant Brittany Schaup. We were invited to go to Serbia and train young women in self-defense. So the reason this all came about was because women in Serbia aren't exactly treated the way that they should be treated. There's some issues that have been going on over there for years and years, and they wanted to not just go over there to teach women how to defend themselves, but also posturing and how to walk pridefully to not make themselves targets, but to also show them that the United States Air Force and the United States in general cares about them and that we are there to help them and we're going to be there to support them. And while we were there, it was the most amazing, incredible experience that I've had in the Air Force to date.
So how did you get this opportunity to go and do this? Were you selected to go and do this, or did you volunteer? How did this come about for you guys?
So I'm Staff Sergeant Brittany Schaup, and for this opportunity, you had to apply. It was all the women out of the Ohio Air National Guard. You put in for it, basically listed your resume and your experience, and then you were selected from that pool.
The two women, and her and I specifically, the reason that we were chosen is because we are both prior experience in security forces in the Air Force. I used to be in security forces. I am now the first sergeant of security forces. And we both are law enforcement and the civilian side. I'm a state trooper for the state of Ohio, and
I'm a police officer for the city of Westerville. That's in the Columbus area.
So you went around the time of Women's History Month. Do you think as a woman, it was almost kind of your duty to go over there during Women's History Month?
I think it was truly amazing, especially being a woman and going over to a place like Serbia where they aren't necessarily treated the same. It's a lot different over there with the way that men react to women than it is here in the U.S., more commonly, I would say. So we had a real value being there as a female, because over the course of our trip, the girls that we worked with felt really comfortable opening up with us, and I just don't see that having the same outcome if it were men.
Yeah, so I definitely agree with her. So coming in as United States Airmen, wearing the uniform, walking through the streets, the looks and some of the things that we got, it wasn't always friendly, I'll be honest. We were there and they opened their arms and welcomed us. However, when we had our smaller, intimate groups with these women who are from battered women shelters, the young girls from the schools, the interactions that we had, as she was just saying, they were profound. And by that, I mean they affected us in our hearts and our lives and will forever. And I believe that we did as well. Those women, one of the things that I learned, they taught me, I think, just as much as we taught them, if not more. It taught me to come home to the United States of America and be appreciative of how well we are treated. There is no greater country to live in, and there are no women treated better than we are in the United States. And it just makes me so grateful and so thankful that I can wear the uniform that I wear and serve the country that I serve and be respected all while doing so.
Wow. So
Tell me about these women that you were working with. Were there any stories that really resonated with you or anything that you really brought back with you in regards to who these women were and what they had to deal with on almost a daily basis?
Yes, there were several times throughout our week where we kind of sat down and just had a discussion time where we invited anybody who was willing to share some of their past experiences to share. And there were times where I think all three of us were completely speechless because some of the things that these women had been through is just unspeakable. And I think the walking through the city and seeing some of the living conditions that they have kind of showed it. A lot of the houses were missing roofs or had holes in the walls or missing doors or were covered with a tarp. And some of the stories that the women shared with us about being kicked out of their home as a single mom with kids, living on the street without a job, having absolutely no money, and very few opportunities with shelters and programs like we commonly have in the United States. So it was very eye-opening.
Yeah, so one specific story I remember, one of the young women, I believe she was 17, I think, she began to tell us a story. So here's the other thing. We were in a boxing rink this whole time. It was really cool, but women aren't exactly invited there. So we got to take over this boxing rink, and it was really, really great. So we sat down after like kind of teaching them some things, and we would sit down and we would just have a talk. And so we would be talking through a translator. And so it was just the culture of it and just everything was just so overwhelming. But this young girl spoke to us about how she had a man following her home from school every single day. And she noticed him and began to try to take different routes and try to defend herself. And, you know, she would hide behind buildings and he would still always be there. And she told her mom and dad, and her mom and dad didn't believe her. And just, you know, nothing ended up happening. I believe she confronted him, and I can't remember how the story exactly ended, but I know that she ended up being okay. But these girls would tell us that they believed and they have seen that if they were being beaten in the middle of the street, that nobody would stop to help them. The police officers, they could be beaten and raped in the middle of the street, and the police officers would do nothing. And the interesting thing about this is we ended up bringing some of the guys from the boxing club into this group, right? We wanted to show them. We were the only two airmen. Most of the rest of our group was soldiers, and then we had some people from the embassy. So some of the soldiers that we had with us were male counterparts, and we brought them in so that we could do some combatives with them, show them how to throw the guys, because, you know, when you get tossed around all day, you get a headache. So we like to beat them up a little bit. So we were trying to show the guys and the gals just how we work together, and we didn't realize we were doing that at the time. But then we started, at first the guys were like, that's not true. The Serbian men, young men, they were like, no, you guys are treated fine. That's a lie. We actually, at one point in time, while some higher-ups, colonels, generals, et cetera, were in the boxing rink, they were standing by kind of watching us. One man was getting a little loud, and I had to put him in his place because he was being extremely rude and didn't believe that these women were being treated this way. So we put him in his place, and after that, he ended up being, after we explained to him and showed him the ways to take care of each other, he ended up being one of the best supporters and the biggest supporters. I saw him teaching these girls how to make a fist and boxing and all this other kind of stuff. And it was really encouraging because I know that we made a difference to the boys there too, and the young men there too.
So explain a little bit about what the class was in general. What did you do daily throughout the class? What was your schedule? What did you do in the class specifically?
Okay, so our daily routine usually started off around 9 or 10 in the morning, and it would just be the instructors and then a group of females. Most of the time it was the same group of females, but some of them fluctuated throughout the week. We would start off stretching and just kind of talking, getting to know each other. And then throughout the morning, kind of before lunch, we would do a mixture of jujitsu, boxing, other forms of self-defense, and just kind of teaching the basics. And then after lunch, we would improve on our skills, maybe practice a couple scenarios, practice on each other. And then there were a couple of days that we brought the men in where we kind of did the same thing, mixed up the men and the women and let them practice their new skills on each other.
The fascinating thing, I think, about this class was that it was a mixture of men and women from age ranges. I mean, we had a mother there who was actually from a shelter who had her two daughters who were, they actually loved Brittany. They were like, the mom was obsessed. She would go up to her and kiss her on the cheeks and just tell her how adorable she was. And her daughters were, how old were they? Like four? I don't know. They were very young, but then you have the mother who's, you know, 40-some, and she's been in and out of battered women's shelters. But the fascinating thing, too, about this is the longer we were there, the more people came to our class, the more impact we had. We were like, you know, the first class, I was like, wow, there's like five people here. You know what I mean? By that evening, we doubled. We tripled. By the end of it, we had the gym so packed that we couldn't fit anybody. We had national news coverage there. They did interviews on us. The great part too is that we didn't just teach women and guys self-defense and how to get along, but we also did school engagements where we stood on the stage in front of thousands of kids and we talked to them and answered all of their questions. I mean, if you want some honest questions, you go to a high school because they were some tough questions, you know, and a lot of the questions were about war and about posturing and stuff about the United States. But it was fantastic.
Do you think that in the beginning, because of such small numbers, do you think the women felt intimidated at first to come to the class? Or do you think going to the class was kind of looked down upon in their community at first? Do you think that anything like that was the reason why in the beginning there was such little participation?
I think at the beginning there was such little participation because no one really knew what to expect. They hadn't had much, if any, interaction with any military other than the Serbian military. So I just don't think they truly knew what to expect. And they were a little bit intimidated about us being in uniform because we got several comments about that. And throughout the week, they ended up really loving it.
Yeah, so I don't know how they were feeling. I have no idea. But what I can say is that I do believe they were fearful. And I think that they were fearful not because of the United States military or our uniforms or any of that. I think that they're more fearful that some of the women who are actually from battered women's shelters are actually hiding from their abuser. So they couldn't be on the news anyway. So if there was at any point in time a camera in there, they had to leave. They could not participate. So that was really sad. But on the other token, I look at the bravery of someone like that, the bravery of a woman who has gone through a life of being abused, who came out to this program, brought her children, and is empowering kids. So yes, I think in the beginning it was a little bit of fear and stuff, but I don't necessarily think it was us. Once they realized that it was a comfortable environment, we were there to help, I think that's when, you know, the word started to spread, and then it was like, the more the merrier. It was fabulous.
So specifically, what type of self-defense techniques were you teaching these women to help them?
So we truly started at the basics. I mean, we had to teach a lot of them even just how to form a fist. But ignoring just the physical side of it, we taught self-confidence and how to be, you know, posture yourself and how to act in public and not to make yourself an easy target, how to not look like a victim and just deter situations like that from happening, period. But like I said, we taught them the basics, how to form a fist, how to throw a basic punch, how to block themselves from a punch, how to defend themselves from a weapon, how to call for help and to escape a dangerous situation.
Yeah, so she covered it basically. The only thing that I want to add is that we weren't there to teach these women how to fight in combat.
Okay. We were there to simply teach them enough skills to survive and get away. We, you know, and again, it was about trying to start and building a community as well. We wanted to teach those women that if they saw another woman who was being hurt or abused, to help her. You know, the more people that are helping each other and the more they fight back is how they're going to make a difference and how they're going to change their country. And we taught the guys that too. We said, you know, guys, you can sit here and say whatever you want, but you're not a woman in Serbia. Don't, you can't have an opinion on this because you're not a woman. You don't live their daily lives. So if you see anything or somebody asks you for help, be that guardian angel, be that person to help them.
I think something else that we kind of taught these women that wasn't necessarily our intentions was courage and hope. A lot of these girls were telling us towards the end that we were just so uplifting and that they truly feel that they could take what we taught them into the community and make a difference. Some of the girls have a group, I believe it's called the SOS, but it's basically a group of women who empower other women. And they're extremely prevalent in their communities and they have events and flyers. So just us being there throughout the week, I think gave them the courage and hope to stand up against people who don't support them.
So what she was talking about was the SOS Telefon Vranje, the city that we were in Serbia. The majority of our time was spent in Vranje. So the thing about Vranje is that there isn't a lot of money coming in. There isn't a lot of opportunities. They're battered women's shelters. They didn't have enough money. And so, I mean, it was just a horrible, horrible circumstances. You know, every time they think that they have a resource and a safe house, it just seems like they just get beat back down.
So what challenges did you guys face and how did you overcome them?
I think one of the challenges for me was just being somewhere where you're unfamiliar and not always loved. The experiences I've had here in the United States is, for the most part, everyone likes the military. If they see you in uniform, they thank you for your service, shake your hand. It was not like that over there. Another challenge I think I had was somewhat relating to these women who have been through so much. It really took me a little bit to try and find the right words to say to these women at some points. And one of the things I struggled with is just not being able to help them out more than we were when we were there. Just kind of giving them the tools and the knowledge that we have and then leaving and just hoping and praying that it gets better. So it was just one of the most amazing weeks that I've had, and I know the other girls feel the same. So going back and maybe seeing some of the same women that we met initially and just bringing in more females and affecting a larger part of the community would be absolutely amazing.
I remember we were walking through the streets, and again, there was a whole team of us, all of us in uniform. Some men, we had an officer and, you know, three of us women, I believe, and then we also had a female translator. She was Serbian, but I remember walking through the streets, and the entire time, it was like a movie. The entire town stopped. I'm talking, you could hear, there's thousands of people in this street at cafes and walking and going about a normal day, and we brought that town to a dead halt. Everybody stared at us. So I remember Brittany, she leans over to me and she's, and I mean, she had to whisper because if we talked at a normal volume, the whole town would hear us. And she leans over, she's like, Kayla, I feel like I'm in a movie. And I'm like, dude, me too. Like, for real, it was like we were in a movie. So not only did I can picture it in my head, like, perfectly, exactly what everything looked like. I'm talking, there was like two or three stories and people came to the windows of these buildings. It was incredible. But another time, you know, we're walking and Brittany and I happened to be next to each other again. And there was this group of men on the side of the road and they literally got in our faces and yelled something in Serbian. And it was very mean. I'm glad none of them spit in my face. But I had to ask our translator afterwards, you know, what is it that they said? What did they say to us? And she said she didn't quite hear everything, and I also think she probably didn't want to tell us exactly the truth. But they what they said was not kind. Let's just say that. We had a guy who stood up in the middle of one of our speaking engagements during a high school talk, and he literally started yelling at us. And afterwards, the students clapped, and you know, he got them all riled up. And I thought, oh no, we lost these young kids. We lost them. So the major, who was working as part of the U.S. Embassy in Serbia, he stood up along with all the teachers and all the people who supported us. And they really defended us. And what the major said was, look, you can listen to him and you can believe all the things that he says, but you can also choose to move forward. And you guys are the future of Serbia. These women are not here for war. These women are here to help and to heal. And we hope that you guys pay attention. And then the crowd went wild. And then afterwards, it was like we were like local celebrities. These kids came up to us. Everybody wanted photos with us. They wanted hugs. We had young girls saying, I don't believe what that man says. We love America. And like some of them have even been to America and talked about how beautiful it is and how much they want to come back. And it was just inspiring and encouraging. You know, I'm totally in agreement with Brittany. I think the biggest challenge that I really had was not being able to provide them with anything more. So, you know, my biggest goal out of all of this isn't just to spread the word and tell everybody about our experience in Serbia, but it's to get back to Serbia. I want to get as many Americans and as many United States Airmen back there so we can encourage this, building this relationship between the United States and Serbia. And I think that is my biggest goal. And I need all the help that I can get to get back there and make that happen.
Wow. Yeah, that gave me chills. All of that. So with this entire experience, I'm sure there's a lot, but could you touch on a little bit of what you personally gained from being there?
Okay, so honestly, the list, like you said, there's a lot. But I personally gained, I mean, I literally left that country wanting to take every one of those girls home with me. I'm like, I'm going to adopt them all. I'm going to send them to school. I'm going to give them opportunities, you know. Obviously, I can't do that. but what I can do is I never realized how good it makes me feel to help others. And I looked at this as a humanitarian effort, but really I would go back in a heartbeat, because helping those girls and helping people who really, really appreciate it, that was so impactful. You know, coming back to the United States, you just grow so much more appreciation for being able to be in a uniform, being able to have the freedoms that we have, to drive, to work. And every time I go somewhere to another country, it just reminds me of how thankful and grateful I am to be born a United States citizen and to be a part of the United States Air Force.
On top of gaining many new friends, I just learned about the differences in societies and male and female, and how obvious it may seem to women, it's not so obvious to men. One of the biggest takeaways I had is just to talk and make how you feel known.
I do want to thank you guys for going over there and doing that, representing the American female who is in the Air Force the way that you did. Is there anything that you would like to add, or anything you think that people would like to know?
So I just want to thank you guys for letting us have an outlet to get the word out to everybody, or as many people who will listen to us. And I think you did a fantastic job. And those questions were great, because it certainly helps us kind of relive this whole experience, because it truly was incredible. And the thing is, I actually get emotional just like thinking about it, because we impacted so many lives over there. And if I can get back to see those women again and help, I would do whatever I could.
I just want to give a shout out to a couple of the companies that make a big difference over there. One is called Spirit of America, and the other one is the American Corners, and they do a lot of fundraising and put a lot of efforts into uplifting the Serbians and just bettering their communities. There was also a music school that we visited when we were there, and having a day to spend with those kids was really special too, because we just kind of sat there and listened. They played music for us. A lot of them sang, played instruments, and that's all because the company Spirit of America donates music equipment and sports, you know, football, basketball, baseballs. They donate equipment to these kids in order to get them involved with something and help better their future. So Spirit of America actually takes donations, not just money donations, but they take, like I said, the equipment and instruments for kids.
The music school was actually built by the 200th Red Horse out of Camp Perry. So it was built by the Ohio Air National Guard. And the fantastic thing about that is we got to go on behalf of Spirit of America and donate an accordion. And we got to watch this girl who's like a national champion play the accordion. And I was blown away. Absolutely blown away.
So going back to how you were speaking at that high school, what were some of the questions, the difficult questions that those students were asking you?
One thing I thought was funny that some of the girls were asking me, like, they knew all about the American pop everything. Some of their favorite singers, I remember they said, were Katy Perry and Pink and Kesha. And I just thought it was so interesting seeing how many of them didn't even speak English, but how prevalent our society is over there. It just really blew my mind. And then a lot of them were asking me about makeup and doing my hair and Starbucks. And it was just so different for me being over there, where it's just almost unheard of.
During the class, did you notice any changes in the women themselves throughout the week?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked this, because as we discussed, you know, there was very few people in the beginning, and then there, you know, the class started growing in numbers. And what I noticed was every single individual's personality started coming out. We started to get nicknames for these girls, and because, I mean, we couldn't pronounce their real names. Mm-hmm. I mean, a few of them we could, but like, we started to get nicknames for these girls, and we, you know, us, as you know, the soldier and two airmen that we are, we would go home every night and we would discuss how that day went. We would take notes, etc. And we would just discuss how someone needs improvement in this area. Somebody's doing great in this area. You could see some of these girls just light up. I honestly think that it was the highlight of their year, if not some of their lives. And they just, the confidence in them and the encouragement and the smiles. It just, when we got there, everything just seemed so dismal and sad, and yeah, it just seemed so sad. And by the time we left, we were only sad because we were leaving, you know, we were just so happy to see each other every day, and their confidence just really grew.
I 100% agree with Sergeant Mitchkey. It was crazy, the difference in the women from day one to, I think, day five, how long we were there. But I remember the first day walking in, and it was just silent. There was a group of people, and there was nobody talking. But throughout the end of the week, I mean, you would go in, and people were showing up early. They were practicing helping each other out. They even brought us, so all three of us instructors there are civilian law enforcement, like Sergeant Mitchkey said, and as a thank you, they brought us all local donuts, because obviously cops like donuts. So that was really funny, just to see how appreciative they were of us. And they definitely told us over and over. Several of the girls actually told me that we are just their number one role models, which was really cool to hear. And I think one of the biggest things that kind of helped them come out of their shell and just be more open with us is that we also shared experiences that we have had and gone through, and hardships. And so they knew that it's not perfect outside of Serbia or in the United States, that everyone has struggles. It's just different.
So this was part of the state partnership program. How did this enhance our relations and partnerships with Serbia?
By the end of it, I think they were just happy that we were there. There was this large billboard, and it was covered just by plain red paper. And at some point, somebody must have jumped high enough and known that there was a old billboard that was covered up that had the American flag behind it. And somebody had jumped up or gotten a buddy to lift them up to this billboard and peel back the red paper on this billboard to show the American flag. So we had gone from Vranje to Belgrade. And when we got out of the van in Belgrade, this dude walks by. He's like, "Americans, hey," you know, and like they knew we were Americans. We actually had about an hour. That was the only break that we had. And I have to tell you, if I don't get to say anything, I just have to thank Sergeant Schaup and Sergeant Reynolds, because these two women made it happen. They are incredible airmen and soldier. They really made this trip worth it. We had some great counterparts on the Army side and through the U.S. Embassy. But honestly, I one of the other things I gained was two amazing friends, and that and I'm so very thankful for that.
So we were the first group of women to go over to Serbia and Vranje specifically to do anything of this sort. And for as few people that we had there and as little time as we spent, we 100% made a huge impact. People didn't stop talking about us when we left. We know that. So this is just the beginning of building that relationship.
I definitely couldn't have said it better myself, actually. Yeah, I think you're totally right. And if we can continue to build relations with Serbia, I mean, there's no telling where we can take our relationship between the United States and Serbia.
Thank you so much for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe and give us a rating and review. Doing so will help others find our show. If you're looking for more ways to connect with the 178th Wing, you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Again, thank you for tuning in. Until next time, keep your eyes on the horizon.